God now in Deuteronomy chapter 7. That's where I'll be reading from. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I was truly blessed by the people there. It was my first trip to Africa. I've been to so many places, but never Africa. And want to go back, but we'll see what the Lord has for us. Many, many other things we didn't mention there, but it was a blessed time. Some of you mentioned praying for us, and I appreciate that because God, the Lord was with us, and it was just powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 5 through 9, and then we'll move to some other things eventually. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 5 says this. It says, "But thus shall ye speak with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had spoken unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about being a special people unto himself. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray today that we would glorify you. I pray today your word would be exactly what you'd have for us. I pray we'd see what we are supposed to be and how we are supposed to be and how you see us. I pray that your spirit would move powerfully in each heart, each individual mind. Every person here has a special importance to you. Each person has you have a plan for them. Each person's taking time to come to church today, Lord, so I pray you'd speak in a powerful way. Those who are struggling and who are away, those who are weak, those who are doing great, that they would stay tuned up, and all of us would become mighty, mighty for you. We pray for your help in these things and for you to speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. It says several things here. Deuteronomy is very beautiful. Explaining of the covenant that God made with Israel. Is explaining it to them again. It's a very beautiful book, and the Lord expresses his heart and why he did what he did with Israel, and it's a renewal of the covenant, and it's very, very beautiful in the word and the way the Lord talks about his people and the way he lays it out with them. If you'll do this, I will do this. If you'll do this, I will do this. It's laid before you, a blessing or a curse, which whenever you want, you can have. If you obey me, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. I want you to be blessed. You're my people. And he kind of explains in this passage, the God, I've chosen you. And a little of why and a little of what he chose them to be. And he says here, in verse 6, he says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And he chose them. The Lord thy God hath chose thee." So they were chosen. First of all, he says what he wants them to be. When he chose them to be something, he says, I picked you because I envision you being this for me. This is what I want you to be. You are my choice. I want you to end up being like this. This is my dream for you. This is what I want you to be. This is my plan. I chose you to be this. It's like someone going to someone who's very poor and say, let me take you to a country where we have resources, and I think you have this skill, and you could become this and have this kind of life and be very blessed. Let me help you, and I'll give you the education you need, and I'll help you to have the job you need, and you can have a very blessed life, and have all the things you need. God came and he says, I'm choosing you to be certain things, and the first thing he says is to be a holy people unto me. A holy people. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Holy is not exactly what we mean when we say holy. It's part of it. But when the Bible says holy, it doesn't just mean clean and pure, which is a big part of it. But it also goes farther than that. It means that you have been taken apart for a special purpose, and you're separated for something. You would never, this cup over here, this cup is what the dogs eat out of. So we're not ever going to use it for us to eat out of or drink out of. because that's not for humans, that's for dogs. Okay, holy is like that. It means, okay, you're not part of that anymore, you're part of this. Yes, it means you're clean, but it means you're only used for God. You're separated unto God. I want you to be a holy people, a clean people, a people that is set aside, a people that is different, a people that is not the same, that is separated for me. I want you to be saved. I want you to be clean, and that's what I want you to be. Then he says also he wants them to be not only a holy people unto the Lord thy God, the Lord God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. A special people. He says, look, I could have chosen any nation in the world. I could have chosen anybody in the world. But I said to Abraham, you're going to be my chosen person. I'm going to bring my Messiah through your family. You're going to be the ones I'm going to work through. I'm going to bring my scripture through you. I'm going to work through you. I'm going to do mighty works. You're the people I have this covenant with, not anybody else. This deal, other people can come join you, but it's for you. You're a special people for me. I don't want you to be like everybody else. I don't want you to be just another one. You're special. And I want you to be a special people. I want everybody to look at you and say, those are God's people. They're different. They're special. God wants you to be special to him. It's the same thing. We'll get to that in the New Testament later. But God wants his people that are special unto himself. They have that certain relationship. I can love a lot of children, but of course my children are special to me because my kids are better. But they're special to me, okay? And sometimes you just, even maybe it's not your child, but some child becomes special to you, or some person, you get a special relationship with them. There's just something there. God says, I want you to be special to me. You're a special nation unto me, and I want that. And then he says, I want you to be a special nation unto me. It says that the Lord will make you a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You know, we kind of live in a homogenous, a society that wants everybody to be the same. And there's some good in that, in a way. I understand what people might mean good by that. I'm good with races mixing and cultures mixing and all. We have that all the time. We're good at that. But there's nothing wrong with being different. When I go to Africa, when I go to Haiti, and I go to many countries, there's an obvious difference with me. I'm white. And I go where I'm the only white person on purpose. You know why? Because people will come because I'm there. We got a special guest. He's coming way out here in the bush just to see us and come to our church, come see him. And they'll come and they'll stare at me. Maybe they've never seen a white person before. And they look at me and they look at my eyes and they see they're blue and they're amazed how handsome I am. And and they speak English there in Zambia. But their English isn't like my English. I had one lady say, you speak terrible English. And I said, I think I do. But they told me, she told me, they said, you speak such bad English. And I said, I know, I got to work on that. And you know, they come for that. It's nothing wrong with being different. But in God's sight, God said, I want you to be a special people. I want you to be a holy people, a set-aside people, a sanctified people, a people that's different, a special people. I want you to be my people. I don't want you to be another one in the crowd out there. I want you to be different. He tells him, it's not because you're so great I chose you. It says you're not bigger or better. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. You were one guy when I chose you. And you weren't a big people, and you've always been a small people. But I chose you, and I loved you with a special love, and chose you to be special unto me. It's something I chose. I wanted you, and I wanted you to be different. I don't want you to be just another nation. I'm going to give you a bunch of rules that's going to separate you from them. And that's a good thing, because the nations you're going into are very wicked, and I don't want you to be part of them. And he gives them many, many, many instructions. He says, you got to be careful about this, because I love you. And I don't want you to be ruined by them. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. It's the second time in a row that says God loved them. And by the way, God loved in the Old Testament also. People think God's judgment in the Old Testament and New Testament is all love. No, there's judgment in the New Testament also, and there's love in the Old Testament. God never changed. I'm the Lord, I change not. And God said, I chose you and I love you. And I want to have a special relationship with you. And I want you to be different from all of those nations. You are not to be like everybody else. Let's go to chapter 14. A lot of verses on this. I won't have time to get to all of them. I'm going to just do some out of Deuteronomy. I could go to Leviticus where he says this in other ways. He says in chapter 14 in verses 1 and 2, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. He's saying they got all these weird rituals and they cut themselves. These nations scar themselves and they do all these wicked things. They tattoo themselves. He says, I don't want you to be like them. I want you to be different than them. Don't do that stuff. For thou art in the holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people. There's a different word. Peculiar. A peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. He says, don't be like them. They're weird. I want you to be peculiar. Yes, everybody, listen, can I tell you something? If everybody's weird, they're still weird. Even if everybody's like that. You look back at different generations and say, boy, they were funny looking. They didn't know they're funny looking because everybody else is funny looking with them, but they were funny looking. Okay? The haircuts in the 70s were funny looking. Okay? The clothes they wore were funny looking. They were weird. Hippies were weird. And they're still weird. Okay? Just because everybody is a certain way doesn't mean they're normal. There can be one person who's normal and everybody else is still abnormal. I want to say that. Okay? Weird is weird and right is right. And he says, you know what? These people are wrong and I want you to be a peculiar people. Different. They're going to say, whoa, they're different. He says, that's what I want. Bingo. Got it. I want people to notice you're different. I want people to say, those are God's people. They don't act like us. They don't cut themselves. They don't mark themselves, Leviticus says. They don't sacrifice their babies. They don't do all the wicked things these nations were doing. They don't have the immorality. They take care of the poor people. All the things that God commanded them to do, he says, I want you to be peculiar unto me. I want you to be different. I want people to say, woo, you're a little different. That's a good thing. I want that. That's what he wants. That's his phrase. Deuteronomy 26. We're going somewhere with all this. Deuteronomy 26. And verse 18. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. There it is again. He just keeps saying this. I want you to be different. I want you to be peculiar. I want you to be a high nation above all those nations. I want you to live a different way. I want you to be different. I want you to be holy unto me. My treasure, what I like in a nation, not what the nations like in you. I want you to be what I like you being. It's what I like that matters, not what the other nations are going to say about you. They're going to say you're weird. And I say, good, we got it. You got it right. Because they are messed up. And I want you to be like that. I want you to be peculiar, different. I want you to stand out. He says, I want you to be different. So many verses. So many things. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2 says, learn not the way of the heathen. I don't want you to learn how they do things. I don't want you to learn their styles. I don't want you to learn their trends. Learn not the way of the heathen. They're not my people. You're my people. I want you different from them, not like them. This is an entire Bible concept. It's introduced in Deuteronomy, but it goes all throughout the Bible. God says he wants his people to be different. Now, I'm going to take you way to the New Testament. Somebody says, that's just Old Testament. We're supposed to be peculiar. Well, let's look in the New Testament and see if God says that. Titus. Titus. And that's near the end of the New Testament. Chapter 2. And verse 13 and 14, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. He wants to save us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Huh. Says the same thing. Way there in the end of the New Testament. He wants his people different. He wants him peculiar. God says, I want you to be peculiar. I want people to look and say, they're kind of strange. God says, yep, you got it. You're doing it right. If they're saying, yeah, they're one of us, God says, I didn't want that. You're different. You're my people. I'm different from this world. The word peculiar in the Greek, periousios, it means to be beyond usual, that is special. To be beyond usual, that is special. That's what it says. You're different. It's a whole Bible concept. I'm going to give you three simple thoughts on this. All I want to talk about is God wants a special people unto himself. Number one, it is a separation. I'm going to read you 2 Corinthians. It is a separation is what this is. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God's going to say this real clearly. I am different, and I want you to separate from that which is different than me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, and God, 1 Corinthians 6, 14, I am sorry, I said 2 Corinthians. It is 2 Corinthians 6, 14. You were right, I was wrong. 2 Corinthians 6, 14, I'm peculiar here. Verse 14, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believeth with an infidel, an unsaved person? And what agreement, and by the way, it says you should not yoke up in your life, never marry an unsaved person, not non-Christian, not somebody who's not on the same page as these spiritually. Oh, it's a disaster. And what agreement hath the temple of God, that's you, you're the temple of God, next part says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and they and walk in them, and they shall be, and I shall be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see there, it says, come out from among them and be separate. This is the world over here. And God says, I am over here. And I am holy. And you're my temple. I want you to make a choice to come out from among them and be separate. Okay, I broke from them. Now I'm coming to God. And now you and I, you're my father and I'm your child and we're close. And he gives you all these promises about how close God will be with God. But he said it's a separation from the world. I'm not like the world. I separated from this world. And by the way, in 1950, you didn't have far to separate from the world. The world was pretty clean. In 2016, this world and God are not in agreement. It's a big separation. It's a separation in the way you think. It's a separation in the way you talk. It's a separation in what you watch. It's a separation in your habits. It's a separation in your friendships. It's a separation in your time. It's totally different. I remember separating as a Christian. It was difficult for me. Me and my friends, but you know what? My friends and I started doing this. I was kind of going this way toward God. They're kind of doing their thing in the world like this. And after a while, it got harder and harder to straddle that. I had to pick one. this world or God? God says, if you want to be close to me, you have to be peculiar, and it's come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Many of us are like dogs who've been rolling around in the mud and then want to come jump on our lap. God says, woo-hoo-hoo. You've not separated from the unclean thing. And God says, I want a different people, separated, different from the world. That's Bible doctrine. That's foundational, traditional Bible doctrine. But the problem is Christianity today with the mega churches who've taken the lead in all church growth and told everybody how to get a church, what they do is say, we're gonna take God and drag him over here into the world and make God and godliness like the world, and we'll join them together, and then we will have church and worldliness together, and it'll be awesome. And a bunch of worldly people said, that sounds good to me. I can live like I want and talk like I want and live my old life and have God. All I got to do is ramp up the music and get it emotional and make me feel emotional, and I think that's God. It'd be awesome. And they've tried. Listen, they teach you. Go around and take a clipboard and walk in your neighborhood and say, what would you like in a church? What would you like in a church? And then go and design your church after what the people want. That's what you're told to do now. That ain't happening. I got my clipboard. It's right here. Amen. It's God's church. It's not my church. We'll preach holiness. I don't like it. All right. Well, I'll get you while you're here. Because we believe in holiness still, like every church used to. And now those churches, they go, oh, yeah, you're one of those churches. Yep, we are. And you used to be when you were a good church. When you were thriving and winning people to Christ and doing the work of God and loving sinners and lifting the fallen. And now what are you? You're a social club. We're a church still. A called out assembly is what the word means in the Greek. Called out. Separated. We still believe in separation. The Bible still teaches it. We're still going to believe in it. If I'm preaching to me and my family, it's biblical. I'm not here to build a crowd. I'm here to please God. Don't matter to me. I can go back to Africa. The music's better. And it doesn't matter to me. Listen. God says it's a separation. When did you separate from this world? Well, if I do that, they're going to think I'm crazy. Yep. They are. Yep, that's part of the deal. If you're a real Christian today, they're going to look at you and say, oh, you're one of those. One of those type of Christians. Yeah, we're a Bible Christian. That's what we are. We're separated. And they don't even know what the term separated means. You just say, yep, I'm in love with Jesus. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Bible says you're not fashioned according to this world. Don't let the world chisel out what you're supposed to look like, dress like, talk like. By the way, we don't have our family let fashion designers of today decide what my kids are going to wear. I got quiet. Pants so tight you can tell the quarter is heads or tails in their pocket. And immodest clothing and all this. Listen, just because everybody's wearing it doesn't mean that it's right to wear. Just because everybody talks that way doesn't mean it's okay to talk that way. You're separating from this world. You're saying, we're different. Now, sometimes the world's not wrong on something. The world says, we help poor people. Good. The world's right for right now on that. And the world right now in America is pretty charitable. That's good. They should help poor people. That's good. We don't have to separate from in that. But you don't go, what's everybody doing? Okay, now I know what to do. That's not what you do in this world. You look and say, what does God want me to do? It's a separation. It's this world is different from God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:16-19. You're supposed to be different and not love and be fashioned according to this world. It's a separation. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We as a church and we as Christians are supposed to be peculiar treasure to God. God says, I want you to be separated. I want you to be different. It's a separating from this world and its system and its thinking. And it's all about money and it's all about people liking you. It's all about popularity. I want you to know it's all about eternity and it's all about Jesus and it's all about souls. And I want you to be think differently and I want you to live differently and I want you to talk differently. I want you to go to church when the church doors are open, not spend your time watching football all day on Sunday. I want you to think differently. Your priorities are different. Separation. Come out from among them, God says. I want you to understand it's a separation. It's a separation from the world and its uncleanness unto the Lord. That's why the holiness part comes. And number two, it is noticeably different. We saw that back in Deuteronomy. Let's look in Matthew chapter 5. Watch what Jesus says about this. Noticeably different. All this needs preached so bad in churches. So many Christians wonder why their people are so defeated and why they can't seem to get victory and they just seem to always be an inch from backsliding. It's because they never separated. They're an inch from it. Separation helps you become a victorious Christian. It changes you when you decide, I am serving God now with my life, not this world and its ways and its priorities. Matthew 5. Verse 13, ye are the light of the earth. Matthew 5, verse 13. If the salt hath, you're the salt of the earth, if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Oh, what a phrase. But to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, the light, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One of the sad things is to talk, and we've witnessed to so many people in our church, we just go out and talk to so many people, and to listen when you go to work, and to listen to what people think of Christians. Oh, Christians, they're a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of fakes, a bunch of phonies. Oh, I don't listen to those Christians. They should never talk about Christians like that. But the salt has lost its savor. There is no salt in the salt anymore. It's just granules. They don't burn anymore. They don't taste anymore. They're just plain old dirt. And the Bible says the salt, when it's lost its savor, is good for nothing. And a Christian that's not salty, a Christian that's not light, it's good for nothing. You're not going to preserve like salt does. You're not going to change the world. You're not going to make a difference. You just become a laughing stock. People say, you're a Christian. Yeah, right. I know you. No. May it never be said about us. May they say, I don't like Christianity, I don't like God and all that stuff, but those people live it. They're different. They have something I don't have. At the worst, let them say that. At the best, let them say, boy, they are special and I want what they have. But we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be real. We're supposed to be noticeably different. Flavorless salt, a light that's put under a bush and nobody can see the light. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be on a hill and everybody can see it. On a candlestick. God says, I want your light to so shine. You be so bright before men. You're so different that they see your good works. And that brings glory to me because that's what I wanted. I wanted you to be different. A different kind of Christian. I've told you for many years, this church wants to be different than average Christianity today. No lukewarmness. We want people to look and say, those people are real. Those people aren't playing games. Those people love their God. Those people love people. Those people live what they preach. Amen. Told you before, if you're not going to live what you preach, you don't live what we preach, you don't live the Word of God, don't tell me go to our church. Tell them you're a Mormon. Tell them you're Jehovah's Witnesses. Tell them something else, but don't tell them what church you go to. We want you to understand. We want to keep a name that we're different. And praise God, we have that. But we want to keep that. Why? Because God says, I like light on a hill, light in a candlestick, salt with flavor. I like something noticeably different from lukewarm playground Christianity. I don't want that. I don't want you to taste like the world. I don't want you to be like the world. Next, we are of another world. That's the deal. This isn't our world. We're from a different place. John chapter, Jesus says this. So let's go to John chapter 15. Give you a couple verses on this. I'm hurrying. How many people can I make angry in how short a time is my goal? And John 15 and verse 19. And by the way, you say, well, I'm just not ready for that, Pastor. But do you believe it? You can work on getting ready for it, but you got to make sure you have the right doctrine. Does the Bible say this? Because it's a big difference. And by the way, all born-again Bible-believing churches used to believe this. All of them. You can go to any Methodist, Nazarene, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. You can go to any church 75 years ago and they're preaching, I'm preaching right now. It'd be, of course, why are you acting like that's strange? But it's like D.L. Moody said, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, he said, the church is a boat. The world is the ocean. It's okay when the boat is in the ocean. It's not okay when the ocean's in the boat. It's okay if we're in the world, but it's not okay the world's in the church. It sinks it. It bogs it down. Jesus says this way, John 15 and verse 19. It says this, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Whoa. John 17 and verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. John 17, 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says it's different. I'm going to go to 1 Peter. Again, it'll be undeniably biblical here. Just give you a lot of verses. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. Why? What am I saying? I'm saying God wants us to be different. God wants us to be noticeably different. God wants us to be light that's shining in the dark world. And people in darkness say, wow, there's light. It gives light to all that are in the house. That's what God wants us different. He wants us salt. He wants us different. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Now, this is talking to all believers. That you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war in your mind. Strangers and pilgrims, two different Greek words. They have one common root word. They're very similar. The word stranger there, you're supposed to act like strangers and pilgrims to this world. First of all, stranger is having a home near a foreigner. A stranger means you maybe, in our case, you would say, I live in Canada. I'm from Vancouver, but I'm visiting Seattle. I'm nearby, but this isn't my home, but I'm here. That's the stranger part of it, okay? It means having a foreigner, but having a home near. The other one is a pilgrim. A pilgrim is an alien alongside. It's a resident foreigner. It's basically a traveler through. Okay? It says we're fellow citizens with God, Colossians says. We are traveling through this world. And yes, we're with the people. And yes, we love the people. And yes, we reach the people. And yes, we help them. And we're their friends. And we're kind to them. And we talk to them. And we're people who befriend people and all things to all men. But This world is not our permanent home. It is not deciding how we act and live. We're not that worried about fitting in and everyone liking us. We are here to reach some people and take them to heaven with us. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. Now, most people will not hate you. Most people, if you're a real Christian. But there are some who will. There are some who will. Because salt burns wounded things. Purifies, but it burns. There is a certain, but a lot of people will say, if you live it, you know, I respect that. In our society, there's a decent amount of people who say that. Still, that's changing, but it's still that way some. In our neck of the woods. Our neck of the woods is a little rougher than most of America. We understand that. But the day might come, not only will they not like it, they'll throw you in jail for it. And at that point, here's what happens. Why does persecution help Christianity? Why does, historically and biblically, when Christians are under persecution, they thrive? You know why? Because it's a forced separation. The world comes to you and says, which side are you on? And you say, well, I'm on God's side. And God says, good, that worked. It's a forced separation. We're not there yet, so you have to have a chosen separation. You have to choose to separate from this world and say, you know, this world does this. I don't do that. Just because everybody does that. I marvel at the things that Christians have followed the world into and parroting what the world says. What are you thinking? The world told you that. The Bible didn't tell you that. Listen, Jesus, if he went and preached in most churches today, they'd give him the boot. They would say, what? If any man come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Pfft, come on. It's just going to church on Sunday. They would think Jesus was crazy. They'd tell Jesus, you're not a Christian, you're judgmental. That's what they tell Jesus today. Churches would. That's crazy. But you know what? Listen, the average Christian, all the statistics tell us, do not read the Bible every day. And it tells us they watch the TV 5 hours a day. What are they going to think like? What do you expect them to think like? The world's programming you. If you don't know, when you sit around and watch TV, it has so many things in there that are anti-God all day long. And just because they're not cussing, just because there's no nudity, and by the way, you should never watch, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. But even because there's not those things in there, the messages are secular messages about living for yourself and following your heart and whatever feels good. And you should do this and you deserve. And all these thoughts that are worldly thoughts that most Christians don't even know they're worldly. Why? No separation. Listen, if you ask you right now, Pastor Byram, are your hands clean? I'd say, yeah. You said, okay, can you go do surgery on the leukemia patient? I'd say, no. Because it depends on what your standard is. And there are some times when I'm dirty, but I look at the people around me and I say, I'm pretty clean. Some of the jobs I've had, I said, okay, I'm pretty clean here. But then my wife sees me and says, honey, don't hug me. I say, honey, you should see the guys at work. Because if you get around enough dirtiness, you didn't realize how dirty you are. you ever get in a noisy place, you don't realize how noisy it is until all of a sudden you have silence? You're like, oh, it feels quiet in here. You didn't realize how it was constant noise. And when this world has inundated us, we don't even realize how worldly we are until we separate and get alone with God and get alone in the Bible and go to church all the services and start spending time with some Christians that are really godly. All of a sudden you say, man, I've got a lot of the world in me. I need some cleansing. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Not conformed. That's Bible. So what does God say? All the way back in Deuteronomy. I want you to be special. Peculiar. Then he goes all the way in the New Testament and says, I want you to be special. Peculiar. It makes me very happy when you're different. You're different. And I like that. I want my people in a dark world that their light shines bright. In a dark room, it doesn't take very much light to notice it. When your power goes out, you're amazed how bright that candle is. And when a real Christian shines, and a real Christian is living for God, and a real Christian starts shining biblically, it is different. And God says, I like it. You say, but I'm be a little different. People are going to kind of laugh at me. Yep. They're going to say, well, you're different. My friend, my uncle said he's a Christian, but he's not like you. Say, oh, okay, well, that's okay. We want to be different from the world. And this world, if you don't know how wicked it is, you're not watching the news. You're not listening to people talk, because this world's gone pretty far, pretty fast. Pretty far, pretty fast. And if they still think you're one of us, if the world thinks you're one of them, you're doing something wrong. Now, they might say they love me. They might say, hey, they're friendly. They're nice. They're kind. We want all those things. That's good. We're not trying to be weirdos. We're just going to live differently. And we're not going to say, hey, I'm different. I'm weird. Look at me. No, we're not doing that. We're just going to live and do what the Word of God says. And they might think we're different. And when that Bible says, when they see your good works, it glorifies your Father. And God says, good, you got it. You're peculiar. I like it. I wanted you different. And God's happy. And that's what we want. We want to be different. Peculiar. Are you peculiar? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Maybe be peculiar. It's weird to use that word. The Old Testament and New Testament, same word. A special people, different. You said it in many ways, Lord. But I pray today we wouldn't be afraid to be called a Christian. They called them Christians. The world did. People are like little Jesus. You liked it. You embraced the name. You said, yeah, they look like Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can have that same testimony, that we're different. Lord, we understand the separation from the world. We understand this world's not our home. We're just here for a little while. We're just going and getting some treasures and taking some souls with us, and then we're going to our real home. We're aliens. We're foreigners. This world is not our permanent home. We're just tourists. And Lord, I pray we'd understand that and live for our eternal home, where they'll look strange and where they'll be different and where they'll be outcast if they don't accept you, Father. May we understand that it's okay to be different and to be real Christians and to be light in darkness. It's good. Light in darkness gets noticed. And may we have that. Pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Piano's going to come.